KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Los Angeles Police Chief William Bratton says no additional security measures are planned, despite a terrorist threat delivered on a videotape released Sunday. On that tape, a man believed to be an Al-Qaeda member from Southern California threatens attacks in Los Angeles and Melbourne, Australia. LA's mayor says he knows of no specific threats against the city. Oracle announced plans this morning to acquire software maker Siebel Systems in a deal worth nearly $6 billion. The news comes as Oracle CEO Larry Ellison has reached a tentative settlement of an insider trading lawsuit that traces back to 2001. The deal calls for Ellison to contribute $100 million to a charity he chooses. And outfielder Barry Bonds will be in the lineup for the first time this season when his San Francisco Giants take on the San Diego Padres tonight. Bonds needs 11 home runs to tie Babe Ruth's mark of 714 career homers. One of the most contentious disputes in this year's legislative session involved funding for California schools, with Democrats vowing to restore funds they say were cut by Governor Schwarzenegger. But the end of the legislative year came and went last week, and none of that money is back in the education budget. More from Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers.
The latest TV ad from critics of Governor Schwarzenegger's education policy strikes a familiar theme.
Governor, school is starting again, and we're still waiting. Waiting for you to keep your word and pay back the $2 billion you borrowed from the education budget.
The governor disputes he broke a promise over paying back that money and has argued the schools are still getting more than they received last year. Still, Democrats in the legislature did vow to get that money back. Yet their budget deal with Schwarzenegger this summer abandoned the $2 to $3 billion, a decision even Democrat Jackie Goldberg, the chairwoman of the Assembly Education Committee, disagreed with.
I don't think we should have done that. But I understand the difficulties with how that decision was made.
Goldberg says the decision by Democratic leaders was influenced in part by all of the other programs in need of cash.
We put them in roads and highways because they got $1.8 billion. We put a little bit of it, about $400 million, into health care for the security safety net.
Outside of the budget agreement, the only other way to have gotten the missing education money would have been a tax increase, something Republicans would not vote for. The main effort this summer, according to Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez, was a proposal to raise personal income taxes on the most wealthy.
We ran a bill in the Assembly, didn't get the votes there to say the higher wage earners ought to do their part so that we can fully fund or at least get closer to the governor's promise on more adequately funding education.
Nonetheless, this year's debate over how much money should go to the schools and where that money should come from shows how difficult budget decisions are at the state capitol. Those choices are unlikely to get easier anytime soon, with next year's budget already forecast to, once again, be in the red. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Governor Schwarzenegger's effort to expand solar energy faded in the state legislature last week when a bill designed to encourage building owners to install solar roofs failed to win approval. It's the second year in a row that a major solar initiative died in Sacramento. Still, many believe the future of solar power remains bright in California. Eric Anderson of KPBS in San Diego explains.
Phil Halpern decided not to wait on California lawmakers. A year and a half ago, a San Diego resident installed photovoltaic solar panels at his Mission Hills home.
The only real way that you could see the solar system is by getting on top of it. So why don't we kind of walk up the stairs here.
Halpern enters a third floor bathroom and points out the window.
And then you can see right there on top of the garage. And if you didn't know what they were, people would think you just had a kind of a plastic roof on your garage. But what it is, when you get up here, you can see all the panels sitting right up there.
More than 30 photovoltaic panels, both on the detached garage and the roof of his home, generate some 800 kilowatt hours of power each month. Halpern's annual electric bill has been cut from roughly $2,000 to about $45. The system cost $40,000, but with subsidies and tax credits, he only paid about $16,000. Scott Anders is director of policy and planning for the San Diego Regional Energy Office. Anders says consumers typically consider the environment and their desire to be socially responsible before considering the economics. That said, he believes the solar industry needs financial help.
Many industries receive subsidies early on in their life cycle, and that's pretty much where photovoltaics is right now. It is on its own too expensive. It needs subsidy to become economically feasible to the end user.
The Million Solar Roofs Initiative would have raised nearly $2 billion to help pay for new solar arrays on homes, and it would have required builders to give homeowners a solar power option on each new home built in the state. The idea was to boost the state's roughly 11,000 rooftop solar systems to 1 million over a 10-year period. But Anders says solar subsidies didn't die with SB1. He says state regulators can find a way to fill in the gap.
The Public Utilities Commission does have the authority to allow utilities to collect monies through rates for programs such as these.
One of the largest privately owned solar arrays in San Diego County stands in the Kyocera company's parking lot. The Japanese firm manufactures photovoltaic panels in Tijuana. Spokesman Aaron Thurlow says the large solar panels generate power while they shade cars parked there.
Over the course of a year, we expect all 25 will generate the electricity for 68 homes, which is over 400,000 kilowatt hours.
Thurlow says the company expects strong growth in the solar power industry in coming years. Kyocera has lobbied hard for the subsidies in SB1, and Thurlow says that's because the cost of solar systems will determine how fast the solar industry grows.
It will be incremental until we hit a point in time in which the solar modules can compete with conventional electricity, and they are doing that today through subsidies.
Subsidies are not. San Diego Gas and Electric officials say solar-generated electricity will help the utility buy up to 20% of its power from renewable sources. The company just signed a contract to buy 300 megawatts of electricity from a solar array being built in California's Imperial County. That's enough power for 300,000 homes. The state's second-largest utility, Southern California Edison, also recently signed a contract for a similar project. For the California Report, I'm Eric Anderson in San Diego.
And that's the California Report for Monday, September 12th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California, the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org, and the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org.